Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
I wanted to wrap up this series on habits today. New year, new habits. It's 2025. And we've talked a lot about how it's important to embrace good habits, healthy habits, and that the more that we focus on good habits, then the more we'll notice that the bad habits start to fade away. I think the more attention and focus we put on doing good things, things that honor God, things that are healthy for us, body, mind, and spirit, then a lot of those negative habits that I think you found yourself stuck with for so long, I think they're going to start to fade away. Even just the act of serving as part of the church family, right? We're talking about our vision and our mission is to pursue God, love people, and serve together. Just that act of committing to serving alongside your brothers and sisters, just that act of making a commitment can be transformative in your life, right? As you commit to something that God's asking you to do, as you commit maybe to fasting and praying, probably over the past 21 days, you've seen transformation in your life. We've talked about the fact that it's good to start small. Don't despise small beginnings. And I mentioned that one guy who started his habit of just going to the gym, getting out of his car and saying hello to everybody and going home. And he just kept doing that. Because it's okay for us to start small. We do not need to tackle the whole thing and do everything all at once. I don't think that's what God's asking for us. When it comes to habits that are good and habits that are lasting, I think more often than not, you're going to need to start small. Today, I want to close the series by talking about the power of saying yes to God. The habit of saying yes. Okay, God. Okay. Saying yes to God is a step of obedience. That in and of itself, it's a sign of trust. Just saying yes to God is saying, okay, I trust you. You know something more than maybe I do. And so, yes, God, I'm going to trust you. So your yes to God is a signal of surrender, and it's a signal of trust. And, you know, I don't know, maybe you're a yes person already, or maybe you always say no. I'm not sure. Okay, we're probably in a room like this size. We're kind of all over the place with how we feel about that. But I think it's really important for us to be in the habit of saying yes when God speaks to us. Yes, when God asks us to work on something. Yes, when God highlights something in our lives that he's wanting from us. Too often, I think we end up making excuses. And I think, though, that if we look at Scripture, if we grab our whole Bible, I think what we're going to find is we see ordinary people. People just like you, people just like me, they weren't that spectacular. Some of them were pretty cool, but most of them were just very ordinary people, nothing much to look at, not particularly skilled or anything like that. But they responded to God's call, to God's invitation, to God's correction, to God's voice in their life with a willing heart. They said yes to God. And So I just want to start by asking you, what would your life look like if you developed a consistent habit this year of saying yes to God? What would change in your life? How would it look different if you said yes to God? I'm talking about small daily decisions of obedience. Little things. When God says, I want you to stop and say hello to that person and smile at them. That's an act of obedience to God. And it's practicing hearing God when he speaks and responding with a yes. All right. Some of us don't even want to talk to strangers. We don't even want to look at anybody. I mean, I know that when I'm trying to get my errands done, the last thing I want to do is stop. I just want to get it done. I'm focused. I'm, you know, ready to go. But if you sense God saying something to you and you respond with a yes and you just do it, what happens is you're starting to develop a habit, and it's a really good habit. It's a habit of listening to God when he speaks to you and responding with a yes and with quick obedience. I can't tell you how many times I try to explain away why I shouldn't do something and why somebody else should. Right? Because the truth of it is, there are other people who are probably more qualified for almost everything. We can always see somebody who's going to be taller than us, faster than us, stronger than us, better at talking than us, more creative than us. That's just the reality. I see it all around me. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter what God asks them to do. None of my business. My business is, what is God asking of me to do? And am I saying yes to God? Because a lot of times what God asks people to do does not make sense with our human understanding. And often, and I would say more often than not, God asks us to do things that are way out of our comfort zone and way beyond our natural ability so that we can learn to rely on God's supernatural strength and power in our lives. If it were easy for me to do it, then God's power is not being demonstrated through my life. And I get to see God's power through my life. You get to see God's power. It's a demonstration of God's power for all the world to see, and it points more people to Jesus, and it reminds us that without God, we can do nothing, but with him, we can do anything, right? Scripture says that all things are possible, right? With God, all things are possible. So I want to just look at a few examples in the Bible. So I'm going to bounce around a little bit, okay? And if you want to turn in your Bible to it, you can, or if you just want to listen, I'm going to read. The first one is Genesis 12, 1-4. So this is the call of Abram. You probably know him as Abraham, right? But he started out being called Abram. In verse 1 of chapter 12, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran." 75 years old, saying yes to God. How about that? How about that? Taking off to an unknown place, and he didn't know what it was going to look like or how it was going to turn out. I think it's important for you to know that he was actually pretty well off, this guy. His father had actually, you know, worshipped many gods, right? So there, his father did not believe in the one true God. They were idol worshippers, right? And what ends up happening is they go from Ur in the Chaldeans, okay? They're in Ur of the you could say Chaldeans, Chaldeans. People say it both ways. And they ended up going from Ur to the land of Canaan. That was their plan. So this rich guy, Abram's dad, was, you know, super wealthy guy. He had, like, maybe not as wealthy as Job was the first time around, but pretty close to it, right? Because Job was wealthy. He had lots of stuff, lots of animals and lots of land and all this stuff. And I'm not talking about when Job got the double portion from God, because then that was next level, like nobody, okay? Nobody had that kind of wealth. But Job, the first time around, he was a very wealthy guy. Abram's dad was pretty wealthy. He was kind of up there. Maybe not as much as Job, but this guy was well off. And yet, he packs up all his stuff, all his people, and he goes toward Canaan. Now, I don't know, because he comes from a place of not knowing God, right? Like, not worshiping the one God. But he takes his family from this nice place that they had with all this wealth. They weren't looking for wealth. They already had it. And he's going to Canaan. And the Bible doesn't say God told Terah, Abram's dad, to go to Canaan. But it's very possible that something or someone was leading him there. But for whatever reason, he stopped partway on the trip. I don't know whether he gave up. I don't know whether he got old. I don't know whether people got sick. I don't know the full story, because it doesn't tell us in the Bible. But what I do know is that he ends up in this place called Haran, possibly a town he named after his own son that had passed away. I don't know. He didn't make it to Canaan, all right? But Abram, who inherited all this wealth from his father, who is well off and has every reason to stay where they're at, he actually hears God speak to him, and we have it documented in the Bible, where God says, okay, go from your country and your father's house and your family and everything, and go to the land that I'm going to show you. And he actually is saying that there's going to be a promise. I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. Like, there's a promise attached to this. Go, and I will bless you. And so this guy, Abram, spoiler alert, he says yes to God. And although there were struggles along the way, it was a bumpy path, and there was a little bit of fear and doubt along the way, this guy kept on going and saying yes as God spoke to him and as God led him. And so it doesn't always make sense with our natural eyes. It didn't make sense for either Abram or his dad to leave where they were at. It makes sense to move when you're struggling. It makes sense to move when you can't afford to live in a city. It makes sense to move when you don't have a job and you need to get a job. And it makes sense to move to your family, to be closer to family. It doesn't make sense to move away from all that you have when you're doing really, really well, to something that's unknown, away from everything that you know and love. Doesn't make sense. But out of that obedience to God and saying yes to God, oh, was Abram blessed, right? Abraham did become the father of many nations. And actually, from his line are the three of the biggest religions in the world today. Father of many nations. And God has blessed even us as a result of Abraham's obedience to God. But he had to say yes. Moses is one that I really love too. That is Exodus 3, 10 to 12. And I think that, you know, anybody has a brother or a sister, this kind of is relevant to you. Because there's, you know, between the two of you, between your siblings, you know who's the best at what. We just do. It's like a competition. Like there's this competitive thing in us. And we know who, I know my brother could build all the Legos. He had the mind for it. I could not build all the Legos. I'd get tired of it. You know, we knew one person couldn't really play any instruments and then the others could play all the instruments. You know, like we knew who could do what. And you kind of spend, I think, your early years figuring out who's the best at what, who can do what, you know, and you know, maybe sometimes trying to one-up each other. But at a certain point, you kind of settle into your lane and you sort of know, like, this is me. That's them. So when my mom needs something, we know who to call for whatever the issue is. You know, we say, okay, Andrew can handle that. David can handle that. Grace can handle that. That one's on me. You know, that one's on Matt. Like, we know who does what the best. Well, for Moses, you could go to Exodus 3, verses 10 to 12. And the Lord's speaking to him, and he says, come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, but I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. And Moses uses all these excuses about why his brother Aaron should do all the talking. And he knows that, I guess Moses like stuttered. He was not good at speaking. He stumbled over his words. You know, he was not the public speaker at all. And yet God assigned him to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. God's chosen people, like the Hebrews, they're going to go out of Egypt led by the one who has a hard time talking to a group of people. He says, I think it'd be better if Aaron does it. Aaron knows how to talk well. Aaron's a great communicator, you know, all that kind of stuff. And God's like, who are you to decide who I have called for what? You know, and this is kind of the whole journey is that Moses actually struggles with, you know, just taking God at his word and just saying yes. You know, and some of his doubt actually caused him to never enter the promised land, right? Because he struggled with just taking God at his word. Do you realize that the only one that can keep you from God's promises for your life would be you and your lack of surrender and obedience to him? You make excuses. You try to shove it off to somebody else. God's not, that's between them and God, what God wants them to do. We're asking you, like, this is between you and God. This is something that I can't decide for you. I don't know. I'm busy asking God, what does he want from me? I don't have the space in my mind to come up with what God is telling you to do. But what I do know is that if you seek God and with all of your heart, and if you ask him to speak to you, he will speak to you. And he's looking for people who will respond with a yes, Lord. Okay, I'll do it. Not people who are going to make excuses, not people who are going to come up with reasons why they can't or shouldn't, or why somebody else would be better at it. it's the question is God asking you? And probably he picked a lesser qualified person on purpose. You didn't ever think of that, right? It's possible that the things that other people look at as a weakness or a liability, God sees it as an opportunity, like I said, for him to show off his strength and his power in your life. You know, the things where it will cause other people to underestimate you or cause you to feel insecure, God wants to show off his power in your life. He does. So let's not allow the enemy to remind us of our limitations. When we're reminded of our limitations, we say, doesn't really matter. God's power is greater than any of my human limitations. And even when you feel inadequate, God equips those that he calls. And I think it's a moment by moment thing, step by step. As you walk in obedience, then he gives you what you need. You probably won't have all the skills up front. And it will probably make you feel like, you know, I don't know if I can do this. Because, you know what? I didn't used to like to talk to anybody at church. I was hoping that no one would talk to me at church or look at me. Like, I say, wave hello. Like, I liked going to church, but I don't feel like when I was in junior high or high school or even college or even into my 20s, I don't really feel like I was hoping people would want to talk to me. Like, I was hoping I could get away with a wave and a hello and goodbye. Like, I'm just being honest with you. How is it that God ended up putting me in a role where, like, I'm actually, like, you know, people are expecting me to, like, talk to them all throughout the week and pray with them and encourage them and, like, but God, like, put this thing in my heart where when I said yes to him, he put this love inside of me, and he also took away the fear. Because most of the time, the reason would be, like, I don't want to offend somebody. I don't want to upset someone. I don't want them to think I'm looking at them weird or wrong. Insecurities and fears that would cause me to kind of shy away. But then when we say yes to Holy Spirit, then he empowers us to kind of put aside those fears and those insecurities and say, you know what? That doesn't matter. What matters is that I'm being obedient to God. That has to matter more to us than anything else that we see with our natural eyes. Now, another one. Let's see, how much time do I have? I can do a couple more. All right, I can do two more, I think. Mary. Mary is our favorite. I mean, you gotta love Mary. Luke 1. 26. I'm actually flipping in my Bible along with you. So let's see. We're at Luke 1, 26. Well, Jesus's birth is foretold in this Luke chapter 1. And an angel Gabriel was sent from God to Galilee, a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin named Mary. And Mary is told that she's going to conceive a child, and his name shall be called Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And verse 34, Luke 1:34, Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And it says that even your even your cousin Elizabeth, who has been barren, like, she's going to also have a child. She's 6 months pregnant right now. Can you believe it? Like, this is, the angel says, nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Okay. That is, like, probably one of the best examples in the Bible of a person saying yes to God. Because what? Saying yes to this weird idea of conceiving a child with the Holy Spirit and he's going to be this great superhuman person. Like, what on earth? And she says yes to this. She says, okay, I'm wondering why there's not like a sentence at least of panic or something like that, right? I know she did say, how can this be? So she was curious, but she says, okay. She says, okay. She says, yes. And that's really, really powerful. She had plans. Like, she was engaged to Joseph, and nothing now was going the way that she had planned. Nothing. Not to mention, everyone's going to be judging her, criticizing her. She's this, you know, young teenager, and they're like, what's going on with you? And can you just imagine? The whole town's talking about her, judging her, and, you know, she doesn't even know if Joseph's going to still marry her. Like, everything about her life that she thought she had all figured out, now suddenly she's going to be, like, hated on and mistreated and all that kind of stuff. Like, can you imagine? I'm not sure I would say, sure, okay, I'll do what you said. That sounds fine. I don't know that I'd be so quick to say yes. Okay. Sometimes God might ask you to do something that sounds a little crazy or that might make you look bad to some other people for a minute. People might question you. But will you be okay with saying yes to God no matter what? And have that attitude, that posture of, okay, God, what you're asking of me, I'm going to do. Are you going to submit your plan of how your life should look to God's bigger idea? Because, spoiler alert, God's idea is always better. God's plan for your life is going to be better. It just is. And it might not seem like it at first, but in the end, when we look back, we can see God's provision, his protection, his guidance, and his blessing, and the fact that even the things in our lives that seem like twists and turns and things that we don't really want to experience, God is working on our behalf, turning it into something that will be good and transformative, not just for us, but for others. All right. And so Mary's yes was so powerful. And then I'm going to just do one last one. And that would be flip over to Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. It says, this is Jesus calling the first disciples. It says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Sounds a little bit like what we saw even in the Old Testament, leaving the secure job, leaving the family, leaving what you know, to follow Jesus and say yes to him. And I'm not saying that God's asking you right now, like, to go somewhere different. You know, I mean, I love that you're all here. I think this is a really cool church family, and I love having you all a part of it. But moment by moment in our lives, we want to be sensitive to what God is asking of us. Whether it be a response to somebody, whether it be an action or an attitude at our work, whether it be, you know, the people that we serve and how we serve them. I think that God's wanting us to have this habit of a greater awareness of him and what he is asking of us. And then second of all, being quick to obey. Like these guys, the disciples, They dropped what they were doing and they said, okay. But me, it's like, I want to like have my plans all worked out. I've got to like line it all up and get it all ready. You know, it's like, we don't just go on a trip. We've got three kids. We don't just go anymore. Like it takes time to pack everything up. You know, and it's better now than when they were babies, because when they were babies, it was a whole ordeal of like 5 days of packing to go somewhere for 2 days. It was this whole thing, you know? And so there's this part of us that's like, I'll obey you, God, when and if, or like I said, we'll try to pass it off to somebody else. They're more equipped than I am. But if God's tugging at your heart, if you feel a burden for something, if you notice it, then that's God asking you to respond with a yes, right? Like the story of the Good Samaritan, you know, that there's a man on the side of the road, beaten and bruised, and, you know, he needs help. And there's all these religious people that say that they're holy and good that just walk on by. You know, and I'm assuming they just thought somebody else was better suited for it. Somebody else should take care of this person, not me. But when something's right in front of you and God's asking you to do it, it's like, okay, God, yes, I'll do it. I guess you're asking me to step up. And you say, okay, God, that's a yes. I'm gonna respond with a yes. So every act of obedience strengthens our faith, and it helps align us with God's will. Every act of obedience. So we're talking about habits, right? We're talking about putting into practice even small habits. Small acts of obedience are important, okay? So your acts of obedience, it's strengthening you. It's causing you to be more aligned with God's will. Scripture says, do not be conformed. This is Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect, so that you can know the will of God, right? So each act of obedience that helps strengthen our faith, that helps us to recognize God's will and then continue to respond in it. So it grows us. It grows our faith. It grows our spiritual maturity. It grows us as followers of Jesus. I want you to think about the importance of your yes and how it impacts other people. You probably don't know how many people your yes impacts, but it does. It impacts people. Think about Noah, you know, when God asked him to build this ark, this great big boat for, like, the world had never seen rain come from the sky, right? Because only water came from the ground, like a morning dew that watered the earth, like that, right? Nobody had seen a flood and rains coming down. So there was no context for why Noah would have to build this ark. But he said yes. Okay, God. And he built the ark for something that he had never seen, the world had never seen. Nobody could even know to be concerned about it. You know, like, we can think about fires and floods and earthquakes and things because we've seen it. We know we should be prepared, right? We've got context for it. But this guy had no context. And so, of course, everybody made fun of him for it. Of course, people thought he was crazy. But he said yes to God. And look at, like, mankind survived as a result of Noah's obedience, right? In building that ark. And when we say yes to God, when we obey him, we become vessels where God's power and his purpose gets to be displayed. So I think this is this is what we're going to practice. If you want to have that habit of saying yes to God, I think one of the things you got to start with is start every morning by telling God, my answer to you is yes, even before I know the question. Doesn't matter what the question is, God, what you're asking of me, I'm going to say yes. I'm deciding and purposing in my heart that I'm going to say yes. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm not going to try to pass it off to somebody else. I'm going to say yes to you. I'm going to obey you immediately, not put it off. Most of the time, we don't say no to God. We say later. Okay. So when you sense God's prompting, obey him quickly. And then I would say meditate on God's word. Allow God's word to help shape your will to align with God's heart, God's desires, God's plans. Because that's really what we want to do, is we want to honor God.
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.